Dr. Malachi Z. York have devoted his visit to this planet to the resurrection of the mentally dead, which he affectionately referred to it as mummies. Never did he know that the evil one had done such a great job with these people, both mentally and physically, as to have them hate self and kind. His greatest dilemma and hindrance has been the black devil, born amongst you and by you, married to you, socializing with you, praying in the same sacred houses of worship as you. But secretly, they have a spiritual pact with the devil, which makes it near impossible for them to total surrender to Nwapu. But for the few chosen from the many called, he sifts to find those beings that wish to become one with the Supreme in all. So he, the Supreme Grand Hierophant, Amun-Nebi Re-Akata, as known throughout the mystical schools, the incarnation of Tahuti, Thoth, student of the great tomb known as Atumre, the first point of resurrection from ignorance to the right knowledge, the right wisdom, and the right understanding. Dr. Malachi Z. York has blended in with each of the religions most interesting to his people. He has lived as one of them, practiced as one of them in order to reveal the misconceptions of these doctrines that have plagued and diseased the minds of his people. Among the Arabs of Al-Islam in the degree of Mohammedism, he was known as Sayyid Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, or simply Imam Isa. Being fluent in the many dialects as well as the classical Arabic language, he translated word for word without biasness in favor of the Islamic religion, the Quran, from Syriac Arabic into English. He sat beneath the great Shahuf as a student, one of which was Mahmud Muhammad Mahmud, and the great master, Karama Sheikh al-Husan of the Kalawatiya order of Sufis out of Sudan, as a Mahdiya or Ansar. As a Moorish American, under Noble Jew Ali as M. York L., he republished and revised the Holy Quran, Circle 7. Their connection with the NOI, Nation of Islam, known as the Black Muslims, encouraged him to do an in-depth study of the teachings of Master W. D. Fard, Allah in person, to his final messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He released several books explaining in depth their doctrine, which led him to another ex-member of the Nation of Islam called Clarence 13X, a self-styled Allah who founded the 5% Nation of Gods and Goddesses. Dr. York collected data and published the Problem Book, their interpretation of the English class lessons of the Nation of Islam. Amongst the Hebrew Israelites, while in the degree of Mosesism, he was known as Rabboni Yahshua Bar El-Hadi. As a Hebrew, he was bar mitzvahed by the great Rabbi Matthews of Harlem. Through the school of Judaism, he translated the Torah and the Psalms from the ancient Hebrew into English. Amongst the Christians, in the degree of Christism, he was known as Reverend Malachi Z. York, or Dr. York, pastor and founder of the Egyptian Church of Christ, through the school of Christism. He translated and explained the Book of Revelation from Galilean Arabic and the ancient Greek. In this day and time, he received the new holy tablet, our own scripture that each day, as scientists, astronomers, and the like, uncover new evidence confirming that it was indeed divinely inspired. And is not merely a book, but a revelation, a holy scripture with prophecies of the future which are manifesting daily. Also, he translated the book of the coming forth by day called the Egyptian Book of the Dead from hieroglyphics as Amun-Nebi-Re-Akata. He also released a series of books called Behind the Nine Ball and Bible Interpretations and Explanations. He felt it was his duty as the true reformer and savior to his people to make that which is unclear, clear. He have also revealed the doctrine of those called the Hebrew Israelites and the like with a series of books called 360 Questions to Ask and three volumes of over 1,000 pages, each entitled The Degree of Mosesism, The Degree of Christism, and Degree of Mohammedism, covering any question that anyone could have pertaining to any of the three monotheistic religions. He has also traveled the rough and rugged path of Freemasonry and have arrived at the Imperial Grand Potentate internationally of the Ancient Arabic and Oriental Order, Nobles of the Mystic Shrine, New Mecca Temple, number 11. And IGP of AEO and NMS Al-Mahdi Temple, Northern and Southern Jurisdiction, the Worshipful Master of Nuwapian Grand Lodge, AF and AM, also Deputy Grand Master Pride of Georgia Grand Lodge, AF and AM, 33rd Scottish Rite Freemason of Amos Grand Lodge of Macon, Georgia. He enters the order of the Acacia under the most worshipful master, the illustrious Charles Tinsley, 33rd degree at King Solomon's Lodge, number 4 of Brooklyn, New York, the Grand Enoch Lodge in Brooklyn, New York, on Putnam and Nostrum Avenue. Prince Hall affiliated, and of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite Freemasonry, AF and AM jurisdiction of Georgia, called Zerubbabel Grand Chapter, Royal Arch Mason, United States and Canada. His travels took him throughout the world, from sitting with the mystics and the monks under the Tibetan master Lama Mutkukuma of China, to the Grand Lodge in Cairo, Egypt, Northeast Africa, to being a member of the Rosicrucian Order since 1974, as well as Astara Mystic Order since 1975 AD, for more than 25 years. As the Supreme Grand Hierophant of the Ancient Egyptian Order, AEO, Mir No. 9, his family has been Freemasons for generations in Virginia's then Shriners Temple No. 122, Newport News, Virginia, and Daughters of Isis, then Court No. 98, Prince Hall affiliated. He stepped on to the White Lodge Freemasonry from the Black Egyptian mystery as Tahuti, Thoth, called Hermes, thrice times great, the possessor of the Master's Key, keeper of the secret word to become a Haru, Horus, a companion of the great Hierophant, I am Hotep, the scribe of the secret doctrine, conferrer of the 720 degrees in the secret number 9, and the guardian of the ninth gate, raising from the ninth chamber the secret, which will give you the power to realign yourselves. He was there, which is here, when the word, let there be light, was uttered. He has stood the test of time. He has been questioned by scholars and historians of all religions and denominations. Dr. Malachi Z. York is capable of answering the unanswered and solving the problems of the world. Yet, his personal interest is in each and every one of you. He says, I am not a holy man or a preacher. I am a master teacher. He have resurrected in the West the ancient fraternity, AEO, with healing in his wings, the spiritual order of our ancestors, the Egyptians, and your true bloodline under the reincarnation of Netir Amenubidu Akata, your Aferti, Pharaoh, for this day and time, Atumre. He have experienced all the religions and sacred orders, and now bring you the ancient Egyptian order, AEO, the true order of the Egyptians, that which gave birth to all others, and in this day and time has become the fastest growing movement for world peace of the new millennium. You have found your way to that which you have sought all your life. And now, I introduce to you the man of the hour, Dr. Malachi Z. York.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that He is alone and has no part And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
The shahada, bearing witness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is done 100,000 times in Muslims' life because they do it in prayer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. All the time, first of all. But when you take your initial baptism to be born again, as the Christians refer to it, your shahada should be taken once. But many people here are being misled by false teachers who really don't know what they're doing. Let me correct myself now, though. They mean well. They mean well, but they just don't know. Just like a doctor who operates because they can't get a specialist. And then later on, there's some problems with the patient. So we have a lot of doctors who are pre-med students operating on the minds of our people because they didn't wait long enough for a specialist to come. All right? So what happens is they have a lot of people come up from Pakistan, Egypt, Sudan, different countries. But when these Arabs come here, a lot of them are not informed in Deen of Islam. They have not been raised to teach Islam. They are as informed as the average Christian walking the street. If he was in an Arab country and said he was a Christian, he'd be very impressive there, just with his little knowledge of the Bible. You see, the fact that he doesn't speak classical English, they would accept his English as English. Same thing happens here. A lot of brothers in America are exposed to Arabs who come here who have never studied Arabic, never studied the classical Arabic. They know how to speak Arabic because their country speaks Arabic and they speak in different dialects. They know Surah Al-Fatiha, they know Surah Ikhlas and Nas and the Kalimah, a couple of rudiment things, and the rest of it they put together at night at home on paper when they come to your community. And these people who came here for economics and political science and open pork stores on Northern Avenue and such, these people are now teaching our people. And they're using us as another supplement for finance. They're not concerned in the least in who you are, because if they were, the first thing they would tell you is where you came from. But what these people will do is tell you that there is no racism in Islam, and there is no tribalism in Islam, when the Holy Quran directly speaks of tribalism and identifies racism, because it says لإله في قريش, for the protection of the Quraysh tribe. So there's tribe. They would first identify and teach a person who they are to give them a foundation, where they came from, how you got into America, so they can get the illusion out of your head that white Arabs brought you here. They're not the people from Spain. They got everybody thinking that Arabs are responsible for the slave trade. The Arabs have any concern about you as a people at all, one of their first concerns would be to refute that lie and clear it up.
Where in the Injil is it written, if you know, because I don't, that Isa, so it's wrong, is considered just a prophet and not Son of God?
First of all, it's important that we realize that Isa is the Son of God. You understand?
You hear me?
Isa is the Son of God. The problem is in languages. This is the problem. When we get back to the Arabic and the Hebrew language, which is basically the same languages, different dialects, we have two words for son. One of them is walada, waw lam dal, walada. And the other is ibnun, alif ba nun. The brothers writing it on the board, ibnun. When you look at the word ibnun, if you take the first letter, that straight line, that alif off, you get the word ben. Ben means from bene, to adopt a son. You follow?
Yes.
When you look at the word walada and you remove the wow on it, you get the word lid, which means conception or to conceive, to give birth to. So, throughout their scriptures, the problem is, my beloved brother, is that they are reading their scriptures in English, which was translated from the original Arabic into the Hebrew, down into Aramaic, down into Greek, down into Latin, down into the Queen's and King James English, and then now into New Standard English. And no one took the time to explain, because most of the translators didn't know the Semitic languages. You see, they only knew the Greek and the Latin. They didn't know the Semitic ones, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Arabic, and know that there's a difference for conception, conceiving a son and just calling a person your son. The Quran Al-Kareem, min Allah Ta'ala, supports it because it refers to a man as Abu Lahab in the Quran, the father of flame. This implies that we know he could not have given birth to fire, right? But that as Abu Lahab, this is a name meaning the father of flame. There was a man who the Sunni Muslims recognize as the first Khalifa after Rasulullah Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, and his name was Abu Bakr Siddiq. His name, Bakr, comes from the word Bakara, early in the morning. You see? And they call him Abu Bakr, father of the early in the morning. Now you and I know that he did not give birth to early in the morning. You see? Then, in the Sunni Muslim world, they have a celebration which is called Mawlid al-Nabi. And they use the word Mawlid, mim waw lam yadal, Mawlid al-Nabi, which is the word walad, again if you look at it and see it from the bud, you see? And that means the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad. When a person greets you with happy birthday in Arabic, they say Eid al-Milad. Eid means celebration, and Milad, which is Mim, Ya, Lam, Alif, Del. Milad, that's birthday, generation, by birth, conception. So, throughout our scriptures, where Isa ibn, son of, adopted ibn Maryam, or Walad Maryam, makes no difference in her case, but she was his real mother. You see, is used for the son of God or the son of Allah. They never, ever use that word Walid. They always use the word Bena, Ya Bena Israel in the Quran, all children of Israel or sons of Israel. They never use the word Walid. So when the Muslims are arguing, and mainly the American Muslims, because you don't find too many Arabs arguing this point, when they're arguing this point, because you're confronted with Christians and they're not, that's why, they always get stuck, the Americans, not knowing the language is the trick. If me and you was to turn to the Holy Quran, the 112th surah of the Holy Quran, which we both know is Surah Al-Ikhlas, right, from purified, we read from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Begin all things with the illustrious name of Allah, the yield of the most merciful. Qul, he's speaking to Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angel Jibreel, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, is telling the Prophet Muhammad in an order tense, Qul, say, tell them, Huwa Allahu Ahad. That he, huwa, yahuwa, Allah is Allah, and he is ahad. He is wahdahu la sharika lahu. He is alone and has no partner. That's the statement it starts off with. Then to make sure Muhammad understood, he said, tell them this. And of course, Muhammad being a mortal, his expression made Jibril repeat from Allah, Allahu samad. Allah is Samad. He's independent of this. Now the word Walada and Walida comes in. Walada without the Alif after a while is son. Walida with the Alif after a while is father, one who gives birth. So Allah says, Lam Yalid Walam Yulad. Lam, he did not Yalid. That word I told you, Yalid. He did not father anyone, walam, and he did not yulad, become anyone's walad, son. Then he goes on, walam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Walam, and it does not, yakun lahu, exist for him, kufuwan ahad, in anything equal to him, so there is no woman for him to have a wife. If the Muslims understood Surah Al-Ikhlas better, they'd understand that the Christians can jump and shout and scream and say, Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is the Son of God, and they say, you're right, Jesus is Ibn Allah. The same way Adam was Ibn Allah, and the same way all of us is Ibn Allah. And they say, well, Jesus didn't say that. Say, Jesus said this, though, Abna al-Ladhi, Abna al-Ladhi, our Father al-Ladhi, which be Samawati, art in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. You use the word Abba for Father, which is like the Ibn for son, adopted, Abu Bakr, Abu Lahab, Abana, the Na on the end is from Nahnu, meaning our or we or us. So Jesus says, I want y'all to pray after this manner, and he established the divinity right there when he said, our Father who art in heaven in Matthew's, right? He followed by saying, hallowed be thy name, your name, not his name, not Jesus' name, hallowed be thy name. But he said, our Father. And he said in St. John, and as many as believe on me, to them I give the power to become sons of Allah, or God, as they say. If Jesus can give you the power, then it means it's something that you get anointed into or gain, because Jesus was called the Messiah, the anointed one. So if he can anoint you and make you a Messiah, then by becoming a Messiah, you become a son of Allah. And he did tell them that he was not Christ, he was the Messiah, in St. John chapter 1, verse 41, when he said he first found his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. So the word Messiah, Messiah, or Messiah, means to wipe something and make it clean. You see? And Jesus said, as many as believe on him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. He said, they can't get to heaven unless they pass by him. Do it his way. That's the nation of people that he was what? Sent to. And that's a very important point that the Christians always seem to jump over. They don't see that word Rasala. The word in the Arabic language is Rasala. Sent. You see? Jesus said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? Now, the word sent means there must be a sender. If someone is sent, someone sent him. You see? Now, no one sends God Almighty, as they call him, anywhere. No one sends the Lord God anywhere. The Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, he's the one who sends his prophets or his angels or his messages into the world. So when Jesus made the statement right in the Bible, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he was confessing then that he did not come on his own, that someone sent him. And I asked the Christians, who sent him? And they say, his Father. And I say, who art in heaven? And if they say yes, then he wasn't in him. If his Father, according to the prayer, was in heaven, then he wasn't in him. Then I also say, because you told me that when Jesus was on the cross and he was about to die, he looked up towards the heaven. You said this, because I don't believe it. He raised his eyes, not you, but they. And he said what? Father, it is over. What's over? The judgment of the world? The crucifixion? Then he said, unto thy hand I send my spirit. All right? Or command my spirit. But the point is, if he was speaking to the heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and said, I send my spirit to you, then he did claim that the spirit that was in him Was it the Holy Ghost? Was it the Father? Or was it His Spirit? He said, unto thee I send my Spirit. He said, your Spirit inside me is willing. Your Holy Ghost is God in me is willing. And it's the man in me that's weak. He said, my Spirit. You understand the point I'm trying to make? So He made it clear that the Spirit that was in His body was His own. And even if the Christians believed that was Him on the cross, that man on the cross said, unto your hands I send my Spirit. Which means that He was sending His Spirit from earth to heaven at that point. So if He had to send the Spirit to heaven, then the Spirit was not in Him at the time. Or that was not Jesus, because St. John said when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended upon Him and resided with Him forever. So therefore, that man on the cross could not have been the same man who received the Holy Spirit at the baptism of John, and that that Spirit stayed with him forever, because this man said, I'm sending back the Spirit. You cannot be here forever and send it back. You can't have a car forever and don't have it. You understand?
Yes,
they got to stop lying to our people, because the truth has come, and false things must perish. Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought this Quran al-Kareem bil-haq, with the fact beyond any doubt, to clear up this mess. And if me and you use it right, the way he sends it, and not the way Bukhari and Shafi and a whole bunch of Pakistanian and Saudi Arabian and Egyptian scholars want us to think, because they're Christianized Muslims, you are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You are the seed that has to save the world. The sun is going to rise in the west. And now when that statement was made, believe me, angels know suns don't really rise. So he couldn't have been talking about the sun jumps at me and you look up at. Because the sun don't move. Okay, question.
Okay, thank you for a very good answer. Next question is, it's becoming a situation where our people are being systematically killed off behind this crack situation in, you know, today's time. What can we as people do to re-educate ourselves and come together as a unit so that we can function as a true people on this planet?
That's a very good question. And most people are so interested in how great they are, they never ask that foundation. Our problem as a people is that we have been convinced by the white man that we can function as individuals also. No. Carnivorous animals function as individuals. Vegetarians hang in packs. You understand what I'm saying? Deers and antelope and elephants and other docile peaceful creatures which are vegetarian hang in family groups. Lions come together to hunt on these docile animals. You got me? So they can meet in the United Nations building. They can meet in legislation and Congress, which means really opposite of progress, Congress, they can meet in these places, but they meet for one purpose and one purpose only, to prey upon the docile people. And we have been so brainwashed by his television and his media and his stupid images that we as black people, Nubians, are now beginning to believe that we can function as individuals. It's only until you get into his infrastructure, in his military, in his prison houses, or in his big money circles that you realize that they're tightly linked and they take orders. Like Elijah Muhammad said, they obey Yaqub regardless of what he tells them to do. You see? Black people disobey each other regardless of what they tell each other to do, because we're always trying to outdress each other. We live by a thing called the dog eat dog, or living with the Joneses. If you got new sneakers, I got to get new sneakers. If your wife got a new ring, my wife needs a new ring. He's created this in us. Our problem is the thing that we, on Sala Allah, is trying to do is what the Quran says. وَتَقْسِمُوا بِالْحَبِّ اللَّهِ جَمِعًا وَلَا تَفَرُّقُوا. Hold together وَتَقْسِمُوا بِالْحَبِّ, on a rope like a tug of war, and put those carnivorous animals on the other side. And hold on to the حَبِّ اللَّهِ as a jama'ah, as a community. وَلَا, and don't تَفَرُّقُوا. Let anyone separate you up. This is hard for us to do. It is very difficult for you and I to come together and live together and try to iron out all the Negro and Negroidly things that he bred in our people. But if we are to survive for our children's sake, we've got to do it. We have no choice. You're right. Genocide by way of crack is part of it. He has to take the attention off of the things that are in the news that are pointed at him, everything from his Christian churches becoming revealed as liars and crooks and fornicators and adulterers and sodomy, and these are their preachers who they've been donating millions of dollars to stay on air. You know about that going on in the news now, right? They have got to put something in the news to take everybody's mind off of the mistakes they have made and how the world is looking at them. Our people must come together as a family. In our motherland, we've always lived as family and as tribes. We got to tolerate each other and our differences and things we don't like about each other, and we got to come together like the so-called Jew and form communities. They have a Jewish neighborhood, right? They have an Italian neighborhood. They have an Irish neighborhood. They have a Polish neighborhood. Then they have Harlem. How come they don't call it a black neighborhood? Everybody else is a nationality neighborhood. The Italian neighborhood, the Jewish neighborhood, the Irish neighborhood, the Chinese, Chinatown, Harlem. You follow? And the sad thing about Harlem is they refer to Harlem as the ghetto. Right? Does anybody remember what happened to the last place that was called the ghetto?
They killed Jews there.
That's right. They massacred those people in the ghetto in Germany. So they call the tribal gathering centers of us Nubians ghetto, because they plan, and they will do it, massacre you the same way. We have got to form a front. We have got to come together, the black men, and work together. We've got to stop our women from going out to working for him, and we've got to provide for them so they can become mothers again, so they can help to raise our children in the things that we want them to learn, and not what they're putting on these 900 channels they got on television now. You follow? We men got to come together and provide for our women so that our women can stay home and educate our children. That's what we need now. Forming black organizations, new mosques and new sects, and having all this stuff about we need to build money for this, we got to do that, all that's wonderful. But we've got to come together as a tribe. That's how we function. And then we got to iron out all these differences that he put in our heads. And we got to learn to live by three principles that a man named Sheikh Daoud Ahmed Faisal told everybody years ago. Live for, of, and by each other. See those principles? We got to learn to live for, of, and by each other. I got to learn to care about you. I found it very interesting. I don't know if it caught you, that the brother said to you, sit down and take the weight off your leg and ask questions. Black people don't do stuff like that.
You can get on a train and brothers will be sitting there and see your leg is hurt and won't give you the seat. I mean, not all of them. There's some. And I'm not saying that because he's an answer. Forget that. I'm just saying that to say that it is happening inside of us again. The little spark of concern for each other is beginning to happen again. Let's let it grow. Let me forget your last name. Let you become my real brother and let me learn to care for you as much as I care for myself. Let us learn to live for, of, and by each other. Okay?
Shukran, is there anything that I can use in dealing with a Christian where it speaks specifically about Jesus by name being after the order of Melchizedek and it's self-explanatory as to why I possibly want that, because if he's after the order of Melchizedek, then he couldn't.
He's turning the Bible now to the book of Hebrews. Let's start at 5:5. What do you read?
5:5.
So also
Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son.
Today I have begotten thee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead. As he says, also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death, was heard, and that he feared.
Now, in this quote, we're talking about what they refer to from 5, Christ, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And it says that he was after the order of Melchizedek.
That's what I wanted to.
Yeah, and a strong quote for backing that up is the book of Numbers. He's going to the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter and the 19th verse.
God, when we read it?
Yeah,
God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it.
Jesus was after the order of somebody.
Right.
And yet they clearly point out in the Bible that Allah Ta'ala is not a man. Yet the Christians say anyone who does not confess that Jesus Christ came as a man is an antichrist. So if the Bible says that Allah is not a man, or God is not a man, and the Christians say anyone who doesn't believe that Jesus came as a man, as an antichrist, then Jesus can definitely not be God, right?
Right. I'm glad you cleared that up. That's super.
If you go to St. John chapter 17, which people seem to jump around, you're going to see a verse where Jesus clearly points out that he is not the Heavenly Father. In chapter 17 of St. John, verse 3, what does he read? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only, wastahu, la sharika lahu, kul huwallahu ahad, the only. You see that word only? What follows that, people? Huh? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the singular, you, the only true God they have, which is Allah. And then they have and Jesus Christ, or Isa and Messiah. Whom what? thou hast sent. Now, this verse, where Jesus is supposed to be speaking himself about himself and the Comforter, clearly speaks of the separation between him and the eternal God, as they say, or we say Shaheed, the aloneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how he separates himself from Jesus the Messiah. How can a Christian read this and still say Jesus and God is the same person, when he himself separates them right here by the word and, the eternal God and Jesus the Messiah. God is not a man, yet Jesus was a man, and even the Son of Man. You can see that there's a certain spell or disease of blindness that are covering the eyes of people that are being driven by the will of Satan to worship the Almighty as a man and to cut off the contact with the Heavenly Father in the spiritual sense as his sons and daughters. The malicious act of Shaitan himself.
Okay, my question is about the rapture. What is the rapture and the meaning of it, and what does it have to do with us?
First and foremost, the rapture is a nice word that's not in the Bible. Okay? Many Christians use it, but you will not find the word rapture in the Bible. What they're referring to is the books of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and the 15th chapter. And in that book, they begin to speak about people being transformed from celestial to terrestrial or terrestrial to celestial, from mortal to immortality, to be taken in a twinkling of an eye. That's what they're speaking about, and the Christians refer to that as the rapture. They're speaking about the day when what's referred to as the mothership by some, which Ezekiel knew as the angels who sat around the throne, 24 angels who had the power to come down to the earth, like they say in Revelation, that we sent another angel down to the earth. Keep on saying, we sent another angel down to earth. What do they think? He came down and was walking around, a little white boy with wings? No, he incarnated down the earth as a man to walk among people, to reveal certain things to them. Gabriel came, like it says in the Quran, to marry him as a basharan, a human being. You see? So in the latter day, when the day comes, when the 144,000 must be taken up and out of this realm, out of the earth plane, which is called, referred to as Nasut, the realm of Nas, into Malakut, the ship will come, as you call it, which is nothing but the elders round about the throne. Each one of these elders are light, energy. You follow that? And they speak to them in the Bible as being whirlwinds of smoking fire. And they will come and they'll take that 144,000 out of the planet and into the crystal city as spoken in the 21st chapter of Revelation and the 20th chapter of Revelation. And there they will reside for 1,000 years while Satan is let loose on the world and judgment on the world starts. And after 1,000 years, which will vary according to the time of heaven, not to the time of earth, that 1,000 years could be one day, or one day could be likened to 1,000 years. Then they will rise back forth from heaven with the Lamb. You follow that? They say they'll be on white horses and shining white. Then there'll be ships coming back to the earth to claim those who are part of the second resurrection or the second death.
We will return with the true light after this brief intermission. Would you like to see the man behind the voice you hear teaching the total truth? He is there at the Hall of Knowledge located at 548 Hart Street, Brooklyn, New York. Every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m., the Nubian Islamic Hebrews would like to invite you to question and answer classes with As-Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Come listen and learn. Hear the words of truth for yourself. Hear the answers to long-awaited questions. Also for your spiritual growth, an intricate design woven prayer rug designed by the hand of As-Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Also available are prayer beads, incense, and oils. If you would like any further information on these items, contact the original tent of Kedar, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. And be sure to ask for a listing of the most dynamic books in history, authored by As-Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Now is the time to ask questions of your leaders, teachers, and preachers. Where did all the races of people come from? Why did John have to baptize Jesus at the Jordan? And why do the four Gospels contradict each other? The answer to these questions can be with only one man, As-Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, the man who has written over 150 books on such topics as, is there life on other planets? How were the pyramids built? What race was Adam and Eve? And was the Holy Quran made up by Muhammad? Or was it a divine scripture sent from the Most High? And what is the difference between the spirit and the soul? The answer to these questions can be found in the most dynamic books in history, authored by As-Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. These books can be purchased at the original Tent of Kedar at 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Now let us continue with the true light. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
How do we prepare for the spiritual body?
You must first prepare physically for anything you plan to prepare for physically. That's why they told Moses, take off your shoes. You are on holy ground. That was his way of telling him, it must start with getting your physical. People think, I'll just get my spirit together. I'm not going anywhere. You got to first put on your white. You got to learn to prostrate in prayer like Jesus did. I fell on my face in prayer. Moses fell on his face and prayed. Daniel went to the window of Jerusalem and faced the east and fell on his face and prayed. You must learn to pray the way the prophets did. You must learn to dress properly. You must learn your language again. You got to start with the physical practices first and then gradually grow into the spiritual. Because you did it just the opposite. You started off spiritual being and you incarnated into this body. Now you got to perfect this body and climb the ladders of Jacob back up. Every ladder consists of steps. In this case, 33 steps back up.
My next question is about the Trinity. How did the Christian came about with this concept?
It came about from the concept because of the Father, which Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, right? The Holy Ghost, which Jesus, when he was baptized by Jordan, received, and the Son, which Jesus said, all of us are when he said, our Father who art in heaven. So there's nothing wrong with the Trinity. It's how they use it that's wrong. When they say that God, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit is inbound in Jesus, and the catchword is only. You see, when Jesus gave his disciples the Spirit, the Holy Spirit came to Elizabeth to tell her that John the Baptist was going to be born. And the Holy Ghost came to Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Ghost, and that then Jesus was born. So Jesus could not have been the Holy Ghost if the Holy Ghost came to Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist and Zechariah. It was Elizabeth and Zechariah's son, John the Baptist, before Jesus was born. So therefore, the Holy Spirit had to already be here. You follow that? So in the Trinity, there's nothing wrong with the Trinity, and we understand the Trinity. When they say the Father, we're talking about our Father who art in heaven, all of our Father. See? And when they speak about the Son, if he is our Father, then what are we? His sons and his daughters, of course.
And he said that you must receive the Holy Spirit to be born again. Right? So when you see Trinity, any man you see is a Trinity. He is indeed the Son of the Heavenly Father. And if he is righteous and earns the title to be called the Son, he must be filled of the Holy Ghost. So there we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in any man. You see that?
Yes.
They were so caught up on Caesar worship in Rome. They were so caught up on mortal worship in the time of Jesus that they wanted to make him the embodiment of all three. And the Quran says, this you cannot do. You know what happens to a child when he goes to school? He goes to school, and in simple math class, first his parents tell him, you must learn to respect your teacher, because if you don't respect your teacher and get a good education, you'll never be nothing in this world. Right? You must get a good education or you'll never be nothing in this world. So when he goes to school and he goes to simple division, and the teacher teaches him, well, Johnny, 1 + 1 = and what did he say?
Two.
Says, great. And he says, 2 + 1, Johnny, equals?
Three.
He said, Johnny's a smart kid. He's going to be something in this world. Now, Sunday comes, you're out of school, and your mother sends you to Sunday school. And she says, and if you don't respect that preacher, you'll never get into the other world. If you want to be something in the other world, in God's heaven, you got to respect that preacher. Now, the king was told about two worlds now. He was told about this world that he must be something in with a good education, and that next world that he must be something with a good spiritual education. Then the preacher says, Johnny, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is 3 into 1. He is 3 into 1. Johnny said, I got you. Because he never got to division class in school. He was still on addition. And he understood the word 3, and he understood the word 1. He got it. He came home and said, you know, Mom, the Reverend Rip, Reverend Chitlin said that God is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is 3 divided into 1. Then he got back to school, and here comes Friday, and the teacher said, we have now a division class. And he gives Johnny a little piece of paper, has this little symbol on it, and it says, 3 divided into 1. You see? And Johnny says, 3 into 1. Oh, Jesus! He writes down on the bottom of the paper, Jesus! And takes it up to the teacher. The teacher puts a big X on it. It says, Johnny, you ain't gonna be nothing in this world because you don't even know that 3 cannot go into 1. Poor Johnny is now very confused. He comes home with a bad report card and gets hit upside the head by his parents because he put down Jesus is 3 into 1. You understand what's happened to the children in this world?
Yes.
Now Johnny is confused. Because there's two worlds they talk to you about in the Western world. In Islam, we talk about one world, preparing everything for the next life, the hereafter. And I mean it like that, hereafter. But there, they tell you that here and after are two different places. And both of them have different rules and regulations. And you got to pass both of them while being one person. So this one person has to be a Trinity to pass both of them. Because you, Johnny, have to be able to sit yourself down to one that can answer the preacher to make him happy and answer the teacher to make him happy. Which means that Johnny is being bred into being a liar to either deceive the preacher or deceive the teacher. If he deceives the preacher, he becomes great in his physical world. After he deceives the teacher, he becomes great in the hereafter. You see that?
That's the sadness of the Trinity. I repeat, the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Our Heavenly Father, we are all His sons, and all of us have the Holy Spirit. Who want it?
About the Trinity again, John the Baptist said baptized in the Trinity, right? And
John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan. That's right.
Right, and he said in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Okay, good. Right.
Does this baptism should the preachers of today baptize their followers in this manner?
Well, Jesus said that you must be born again, right? Born of spirit. He never gave no preacher the right to do that. He told the preachers in St. John that there are many things I have to say unto you, however, you can't bear them yet, right? So if the house ain't complete, how are you going to live in it? How are they going to form a church when Jesus told them he hadn't finished teaching them? They went and formed the church and broke up into millions of denominations, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist, Pentecostal, Jehovah's Witnesses, and all of these different groups. And Jesus told them, like St. John chapter 16, he hadn't finished teaching them yet. There's many things I have to say unto you, however you can't bear them yet, but when he, the Comforter, comes, he shall. You see? And if the Holy Ghost was going to teach them, it wasn't the same one. It wasn't going to speak from himself, but that because if Jesus didn't teach or didn't finish his teaching, how could the Holy Ghost, who wasn't going to speak about himself, teach? What was he going to do? And you've been waiting 2,000 years for this Holy Ghost. When is he coming? He said shortly, Jesus said, shortly he will come. Shortly is 2,000 years, is not shortly. How many thousands of people die in 2,000 years? Somebody's telling a big lie. No, John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the name of the Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit, they say, descended upon Jesus in the Jordan. And then he was filled with the Holy Ghost. When you take your Shahada as a Muslim, which means to bear witness, Shahada, in the name of the Father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you say, Amanta billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rasulihi wa yawm al-akhiri wa khadri khairihi wa sharihi min Allah ta'ala wa ba'thi madal ba'ud. أشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When you make that declaration, you've taken your shahada, and the Holy Spirit will descend upon you. Whether or not it resides with you is whether or not you stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, stay on Sabil Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jesus did the same thing. When Satan walked up behind him, all that stuff I recited was that there's no creator except one creator. He has no partners. Okay? And the word became flesh. And in Jesus' time, the word becoming flesh was him. Right? What about Muhammad's time? Then who was the word becoming flesh? If the word is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost guides each prophet, then when it said the word became flesh in Muhammad's time, Muhammad was the flesh, and the word was the Holy Ghost, the angel Gabriel came to him to give him the Holy Quran. No difference. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Okay? So when you're born, take your shahada and born again, which means you got to learn how to dress again, how to talk again, learn Arabic like a baby, learn to change up every habit, born again. The Holy Spirit will descend upon you. It's up to you to keep it. When I say the Holy Spirit, I don't mean no spook either. I say it's the same inspiration, the joy of knowing the truth will descend upon you. Okay? And right. The truth shall what?
Set you free.
Make you free. Not set you free. Stop trying to get set free. Y'all ain't getting set free. That's Christianity. Y'all always want to get set up. You want to make yourself free. You want to take your freedom by the truth. That says in the Bible, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, not set you free. Okay.
Okay. I have one more question. All right. This question is about the pyramids. What were they used for, and was there any documents in there that is being kept secret from us to
reveal who we really are.
They were being kept secret from y'all until I came. And I wrote books on the science of the pyramids, and I'm writing one right now on UFO. The pyramids are magnetic centers. They're equally distant from each other around the planet and mathematically built to create a magnetic force field so that swoopers or sabit sa'ira, which referred to as flying saucers here, come in and charge because the flying saucers function like a bee of magnetic and electrical energy. That's how they can intergalactically travel and break time. So the pyramids was used for that. However, the Saqqara pyramid of Abdul Quddus, referred to as Zosa, who had described Hamid, who you all call Amhotep, was a school where sacred doctrine was kept. All the records were stored there. So deep that even in the flood, the Suhufin of Adam and the Suhufin of Seth did not get destroyed. Okay? But now I have the Suhufin of Adam and the Suhufin of Seth and of Abraham and Idris, and I'm sure it will surely reveal it to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Inshallah. I mean, if Allah wills.
If Allah created everything, including matter, which takes up space and has weight, and it is said that we all have part of Allah within us, if Allah is not matter, then how can we have part of Allah within us when we consist of matter?
Okay. The Quran uses two words for creation. One of them is khalaqa, and the other is ja'ala. One means to create something new, like the spark of life is in man, and the other, ja'ala, is to make things from here, like the way elements compose things. Okay? Everything that's matter has evoluted out of ether into hydrogen and on down into steel, metal, and then even flesh. So when it says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kulli shayin is in everything, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a spark of life in everything. In it, around it, and through it at the same time. The matter is just that. It evoluted into its existence from Allah ta'ala's creation. From khalaqa, everything started to ja'al, to be made. You understand?
Kind of.
Well, no, then rephrase the question, because maybe the way we're hearing the question is different.
You're saying that the spark which Allah created is within everything, not yes. Allah himself.
Right, that is Allah. He is the essence of life.
So the spark exists. What you're saying is the existence of the spark. The meaning that we all exist. That is
Allah's presence. Because without Allah, without the existence of Allah, you wouldn't exist. Because Allah merely says to the kun fayakun, exist, and it will come into existence.
Okay. Also, I also go to school for electronic technician, and we use the calculator. We divide 600 into 400, which I have just been told here is impossible. But on the calculator,
say that again.
We divide 6 into 4, and we get an answer.
Okay, because you use percentages.
But you can't divide 3 into 1?
Well, you can't add percentages. See, what you did is you divided by calculation 6 into 4, because you're using percentages. Because 5 can be broken into 2 halves if you say 2.5. But you can't divide it by wholes. Divide 6 into 4 by wholes without turning the percentages into wholes. What I mean by that is when you take a whole pie, it consists of 4 halves. 4 quarters, correct?
Right.
those quarters weren't separated from the pie or holes. But if the original shape of the pie is a circumference, a circle, and now this quarter is not the same shape, then it is not a whole, it is still a quarter. So yes, you can divide five into two halves, as long as you get two and a half and two and a half to give you five. But you cannot divide five into equal six, which is all separate ones. One, two, three, four, five. But if I go one, one and a half, two, two and a half, three, three and a half, or one, one and a half, 1/8, one, see that, 1/16, 1/36, I can and turn each one of those percentages into wholes like they do in a calculator, then I can make it appear that way, but not as wholes you can, because a one is a subtotal of percentages, and it doesn't become one until it has a portion of two to steal it.
Yeah, my question is, do UFOs exist?
Yes, but they're not UFO if they exist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that, right? They can't be UFO and exist.
Right, okay. Now, this is my question. People have said they have seen UFOs or extraterrestrials, and the government has hired the fact that they don't exist. I want to know, do they come to this planet to study the planet or study human beings?
There's different reasons for them coming, and the government does not deny their existence. That's why he calls them UFO, unidentified flying objects. It means they're here, they're flying, they're objects, but we have not been able to identify them. So he does not deny that they exist. He admits they exist. Now, there are different galaxies outside of this galaxy with different beings and different life forms, some older and some younger than yours. Some tamed and some untamed. So certain beings come into this Earth's atmosphere and they mutilate animals. They used to use the planet Earth as a hunting ground. And then other beings are teachers and spiritual beings who see that this planet is going on a path of its own destruction, and they incarnate and they're trying to make contact with people so that they could teach you, but presently you're being ruled by the devil. So they can't come in and teach you while you're ruled by the devil. They're not killers, the positive ones, so they won't come to fight for your aid. They're not fighting. They're teachers, they're passive people. You follow that? So what happens is some UFOs see are negative and some of them are positive. Some of them are from galaxies of angry beings who torment humans, take them on their ships, dissect them, examine them, you know, to see what makes them function. And other beings know who you are because they're your spiritual descendants. And they're just trying to help you, coerce you away from the rule of the devil. Okay? They call them angels in the Bible.
Assalamu alaikum. I have a question on Egypt. When the elders lived there, I don't see the connection between them and the pharaohs.
They never lived there. The elders would visit in and out of there. Belshazzar was placed over a certain pyramid. They only get into Egypt, and seeing how far this pyramid is away from the other pyramids, will a person understand that? The pyramid of Saqqara is not right immediately in the same vicinity with the other nine pyramids. It's a ways down the Nile, further down. And that was the mystical school. And that's where the elders would meet, beneath that pyramid, as opposed to where the pyramids for the pharaohs were. They had no dealings or concern with the pharaohs at all, other than Unken Unten, not Tut-Unk and Amen, but Unten Unten,
Nefertiti's husband because he believed in Tawhid, and they taught him the way they taught the prophets of Israel. They thought he believed in the oneness of Allah. Most of the pharaohs were mushrikeena, were idol worshippers, and rebelled
right.
against Allah, as you read through the Quran, and the elders had no dealings with them.
Okay, that's what I didn't understand.
Yeah, I figured that's what it was, yeah.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
In the Quran, بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم
We will continue with the man of the hour, Dr. Malachi Z. York, the reformer for this day and time, right after these messages on WGAG Radio.
Members of Congress expressed optimism Sunday about the prospects for reaching a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff.
Fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is entering its third full day, and both Israelis and Palestinians.
Bottom line, Senator, if the president nominates Ambassador Rice to be the next Secretary of State or some other.
Supplementary question. Do you personally believe that gay people are born gay?
Impact statement tonight, the Talking Points memo.
Hot damn politics.
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 Hot damn
politics.
Hot damn
politics.
Hot damn politics.
I'm back now with the Brain Trust panel.
Brain Trust.
Brain Trust. Brain Trust. Brain Trust panel.
These niggas won't hold me back.
Hot diggity damn politics.
I put that shit on everything.
Hot damn politics.
Wednesday nights
at
9 p.m.
Only on WGAG Radio.
Free Castle Radio. You catch my girl legs open, better smash that. Don't be surprised if she asks where the cash at.
Let's talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
On the Donnico Leon Show, Rock Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, or JulieDeGasso.com.
WGAG Radio.
Would you like to ask Don a question? Are you in need of advice or counsel? Tell Don DeColeone your concerns on a particular matter, your views or opinions about something that's important to you or anything you want her to talk about on the show. Email DearDonDeColeone@gmail.com.
Hey, man. Hey, bro, man. Hey, man, I see you think I got that book in your hand, man, written by Dr. York, man. Where you get that book from, cuz? Shotta man, I've been on Live, I've been on eBay, I've been on Amazon, I've been on some of them goddamn bootleg ass Dr. York sites and shit, man. These motherfuckers charging goddamn their rent money and a goddamn down payment on a house and shit for some of them Dr. York books, man. It's hard as hell to find a goddamn one. Then I went fucked around and went on goddamn Amazon. They were selling all the tablets and shit. Well, goddamn, it was a goddamn notebook. It was a goddamn holy tablet and a goddamn binder, man. These motherfuckers charge like $600-$800 for these Dr. York books, man. Hey, man, what can I goddamn get me one of them Dr. York books reasonable, man? You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about like at least goddamn some of his shit, man. These motherfuckers really motherfucking charging out the ass, y'all. I need a legit place. Where the fuck can I get me some Dr. York books at, man? That I won't motherfucking goddamn go broke over. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. Does this sound like you? Well, of course it does. Or, matter of fact, it did. Until you found out about All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia. That's right. All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia. You don't ever have to worry about where is your money. Who can you speak to? All these bogus, fake, bootleg sites that are perpetrating and pretending that they're selling Dr. Malachi Z. York's book. And even if they did, they're not selling it at an affordable price. Don't go to no one else, no one, no robots, no websites, no none of that. Get all your Dr. Malachi New York books right here at All Eyes on Egypt. And we're running a sale for the month of September till October the 9th. On Man from Planet Rich is at $19. The L. Poly Tablets is at $70. Also, let's not forget the Sacred Wisdom of Tahuti. That's in right now. Get it now while you can at $25. So much more. The Right Knowledge series, the Christ series, the Mohammedism, the Mosesism, the Christism. We got everything. The Luciferian Conspiracy. Everything written by Dr. Malachi New York at a legitimate, affordable price in a legitimate store authorized by Dr. Malachi New York himself. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. And enjoy the rest of your life knowing that All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia is dependable, trustworthy, and authorized by Dr. Malachi New York. Why wait? Pick up the phone today. Call 706-468-2319 and speak to a live person. Only at All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia. That's All Eyes, EGITTGA.com. Call us today. Now welcome back to the Man of the Hour.
When you say create a state of nothingness, it's good that you understand that that's a thing. You follow?
Right.
Okay. Allah exists as he is. Amantu billahi kama huwa, as we say in Arabic. I have faith in Allah kama huwa, as he is, his state of existence. And here's what happens. If you blink your eye only once in every 100 years, okay, you would miss everybody that died between 1 and 100. Let me say that again. If you blinked your eye only once in every 100 years, you'd miss seeing anybody born between 1 and 100. That does not mean that they were not born. It means that you would not see them because you blinked. Then, if you blinked once in every 50 years, you'd only see people who happen to be born after 50. If you blinked once and then kept your eye closed and 50 years later opened it up, you'd only see from 50 on, and 50 would become one to you. Why am I saying this? Because throughout the scriptures, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he, the Almighty Heavenly Father, wants to bring something into existence, he merely says to it, kun, faya, kun. Be, and faya, it comes into existence. Like it says when he spoke of Mary and her immaculate conception. He merely said, be, and she conceived. Okay? When he wanted to bring out the breath of life for man, he merely said, be, and man exists. Now, where does Allah exist? Allah does not exist in a state of where. Because the word exists as a whole cannot be a where. A where is a place designated from another place to and fro. You understand? Allah is Al-Qulum, the All. You cannot take from him and you cannot add to him. You cannot take from him because where would you get it from if he is the All? You cannot take from him, where would you put it? Because he occupies all places and spaces and time. So, he thought of becoming, thus you became. He had to create the vacuum to place you in because you were to have a dense body as opposed to just a spiritual body. You follow? So what the room says when he created nothingness is that the Almighty took energy and slowed up its motor vibration to create matter. And at the spot where that first took place, the transformation, when you turn down your radio or your television to the point where it's no longer a low volume, but you can't hear it, not that it's not there. You just can't hear it. Like I mentioned earlier, a dog can hear a whistle that you can't hear. The whistle is there, you just can't hear it. So that is a sign that there are states of existence beyond human comprehension. Allah's starting point is the first stage of existence beyond human comprehension. You understand? And the spot where humans begin to comprehend is nothingness because it's void of time and space until Allah starts things to happen. That's what was before nothingness. Before nothingness was a blink that was so long that what you read, the Quran says, was not a thing worth being mentioned. Based on the time of the universe, man is not worth being mentioned. You have to understand by that? That your lifespan, 1 to 80 or 969, is such a short span of time to the boundless universes until it's not even worth being mentioned, so you call it nothingness. Though it was a state of Allah's existence, who was, is, and always will be, and has created the different states that monitor down by mood of vibration, slowing up into different forms of matter, which you call electrons, protons, and neutrons, or cells and atoms and plasms and protoplasms, depending on a few different forms of life that he brought into existence by merely thinking it into existence. The same way you think yourself into a cold and a headache and everything else. Okay?
Okay. So how do we find out the answers to the questions, who am I and what am I? Also, I would like to know, why are they the most important out of the five?
Firstly, human beings are suffering from identity. They know about angels, they know about Allah, they even know about devils, but they never bother to know about themselves. And if you were to walk up to the average human being and ask them, what is he? You might get any kind of answer, from a man, to God, to an animal, to a human being. And the one thing that they are, which is mentioned in the scriptures, they all seem to overlook. If you would open your Bible, the Torah that was given to the Prophet Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, to the second chapter, the seventh verse, what does it mean? The Bible translates in English, and the Lord, the Creator, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Correct?
No.
When we look at this in the original language, things change. In the original Torah, in Lughat al-Arabiya, we see بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وخلق الله الإله الإنسان ترابا من الأرض ونفخ فأنفه نسمة الحياة فصار الإنسان نفس حياة. This translates wa an khalaqa, khalaqa, created. If we look at the 13th name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his attributes, we come up with Allahu al-Mustawir. If we look at the 11th name, we come up with Allahu al-Khaliq. Two very important attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that he is the fashioner, which is al-Musawir. And the other is that he is the creator, al-Khaliq. Now watch what the Bible is saying in the original language. There's the chapter Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse. Where and khalaqa Allah, and Allah created the creation. Al-Ilahu, the creation or creator, Al-Insana. Remember I told you about the word insan means naf, from the word forgetful, neglectful, and is in most cases referring to man, in all cases human beings. It says here, and Allah he created as the creator, Al-insan, the human being, turaban, from the dust, min al-ard, of the planet Earth. Wa an nafakha, any blue or green. The anti into his nose, in his nose. You see? Nasamat al-hayat, the breath of life, hayat, the breath of life. Then it says, fa-tara. So, fa-tara, man or this creature became something. Fa-tara el-insan nafsan hayat. And so he became a human being, a nafsan, a spirit hayat that lives. Or as they say, a living spirit. Of course, your translation has the word soul, correct? But it doesn't have soul in the scriptures. It has the word spirit. The word soul in Arabic is ruh. The word spirit in Arabic is nafsan. The same thing applies in Hebrew in case they say, well, the Bible was originally in Hebrew. Nefesh in Hebrew is spirit and ruh is soul. So it doesn't change. When they say a person is breathing air, they say tanafush. Tanafush. To breathe air. Listen to that. And here it says that the Almighty Allah, khalaqa Allah al-insan faraban, from the dust min al-ard, of the earth, wa nafakh, and he blew the anfihi into his nose, nasamat al-hayat, the breath of life, fasara, so he became al-insan, the human being, nafsin hayat, a living spirit. So the question of what is a man is answered right in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. What is a man then? He is a living spirit, a nafsan. Does the Quran, you ask, back this up, being we are Muslims and we should study or put a lot of reference on the Quran? And my answer would be taba'an, of course. If you open your Quran to the 15th chapter, to the 29th verse, the truth is beautiful. We'll read it. It says, so when he completed him and breathed into him of his ruhi, he ordered him to fall down to him, meaning Adam, and to worship him. It's telling us about the creation of Adam, if you read the whole chapter 15. And it speaks about when Allah Ta'ala created Adam. And it's got a very important point. You see some words that match. Fa'idha, fa, so, idha, when, fa'waytuhu. So when he had completed him, completed Adam's body, he did something, the Quran says. Wa, nafakhatu. See the same word from the Torah? Nafakhatu. He breathed fihi into him, fihi into him, into Adam, min ruhi, from his soul, not his spirit. The Almighty put into man his soul, and man became a living spirit. The Quran is backing it up here. Faka'at lahu. Implying here, so he is to fall down. Ka'at. Faka'u lahu. Faka'u lahu. So he is to fall down to him. This is telling the devil, Iblis, to fall down to him, lahu, to Adam, Sajidina. Sajidina. From the word sajda, to prostrate. And as we know from the story of the scriptures, the devil refused and Allah cast him out. The point is here that the Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tells us in the Torah, which is backed up by the Holy Quran, that he created man and made man a living spirit. And he did this by breathing into him. This is a very important point, which is backed up in the Bible. Even El-Masih, the Messiah, Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary, galactically known as Sananda, he himself, through his disciple John, speaks about the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We'll find it in St. John, chapter 1, verse 10. It says, Kana fil alam, he was in the world. Wa kawina al alam bihi, and the world came into existence by way of him. Walam ya'arifuhu al alam, but they did not know about him. Now Christians will right away tell you that this is talking about Jesus, that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But we all know that everybody knew Jesus. The Romans knew him, the Greeks knew him, and so did the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and Bani Israel. All of them knew who he was. But they cannot say he was in the world was created by him, and the world knew him not. But everybody in this period of time in St. John knew Jesus. He was not someone who was not known. He was somebody who was very known, even to the point where they wanted to take his life. They got to stop making things up. Now, as you go back to the ninth verse of St. John chapter 1, they say, the light is the true light, which lighteth every man, as they say, that cometh into the world. Or, Kana and Nur al-Haqif, al-Ladhi, yuniru kulli insana, ata illa al-alam. And this was a nur, the light, al-haqiqi, the real light, the true light, alladhi, which luniru, which illuminates kull insan, every human being, ata, who comes illa into al-alam. Now we know that al-Masih, Jesus, the Messiah, son of Mary, came into the world as a man. But the Holy Spirit was his nephesa, his spirit. He had a Holy Spirit. But he came into the world, and the light, a nur, from the heavens was in him. Who is the light of the heaven? The Holy Quran teaches us, if you open it to the sixth chapter, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Begin all things in the illustrious name of the Yielder, the Most Merciful. Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa samawati. Hear the same word, khalaqa. Khalaqa samawati wal arda. Which translates, Alhamdulillahi. All gratitude, lillahi, is for Allah, alladhi, who it is, which is khalaqa, the creator. Remember in Genesis? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when he said, and God created, as you translate in your language, what it said, wa khalaqa Allah, in the original language. That Allah and Elohim is the same for the Hebrew. Allah, Allahumma, Elohim, the same. And khalaqa, created, the same. The same sound that babies make before they speak any language called gurgling to you. But here in the sixth chapter of the Holy Quran, the first verse, it says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa samawati wal arda. The word samawati means the galactical heaven. And wal arda means and the planet earth. Then it says, waja'ala zulimati wan nur. And he made of it the darkness and the light. The Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth created the light because he is Hua Anor Samawati Wel Ard. He is the light of the heavens and the earth, which lights the same light that lights every person that comes into this world. He was in the world in the soul of each person as their spirit. The world knew of him, but the world did not know him. When you saw Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary, El Quran backs up that he had Ruhu, or Ruhu Allah with him. He had the soul of Allah with him. When you saw Jesus, he said, when you see me, you see the Father. People turned that around and said, see, Jesus said he was God. He didn't say that. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. Now, how could I possibly be Allah and say to you, when you see me, you see Allah? Me and he are two different things. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. For I and the Father are one. How is Jesus and the Father one? Very simply, because the Almighty says that he blew into man of his spirit, and man became a living soul. Which light? The Bible, St. John says. That same light, that true light, with light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Simple. There's not a human being who is not in the image and after the likeness of the Heavenly Father. I don't mean your nose and your eyes and your lips and your ears. Those would be idols. That would make you eligible for mushrik. I mean, fi kulubikum, in your heart, there is the light of the Father. The love of the Father for all of his creation. He, Allah, is the creator of the galactic heaven and the planet Earth, the light of all things. His light manifests through love. Many times, Earth people ask me, has the Heavenly Father given up on us? I've even heard fools say, is God dead? I've heard Reverend Swaggo storm up and down and say, if you're not a holy, lowly Christian, you're not going to heaven. And give people a feeling that God has deserted man. Your Heavenly Father loves you more today in your devilishment than he did 1,000 years ago when you were praying. Because he's more concerned with your condition. How do you know he has not deserted you? The day that children stop being born, that's the day that the Almighty has deserted humanity. As long as life in every second, some baby is being born somewhere in this world, as long as there's babies crying, then there's hope. Now I'm always asked again, well, brother, being I'm classified a racist for telling the truth, what about the white man? What about him? Does he have a soul? And does he have a spirit? Well, I pointed out by translation here from the original language that there is a distinct difference between Ruhu, the soul of the Heavenly Father, Wanefsahu, and the spirit of the Heavenly Father. And I got a good test for most people, if y'all are willing to work with me on it. In each one of the scriptures that I read, whether it was the Torah, the Old Testament, or the Injil, the New Testament as it's called today, or the Zabur, the Psalms of David, or El Quran, the Quran of Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them said the same thing. Be in. That the Almighty blew his spirit into man, and man became. Or he blew the breath of life, which from him was soul, into man, and man became a living spirit, right? But the key word is be in. And means with. Be means in or inside something. Now here's the catch. I want y'all to work with me. Are y'all willing? Okay. I want you to say God. Try it. Don't be afraid. You use it all the time. Say God. God. Say it again. What are you people afraid to say the word God? God. God. Say it again. God. Now try to breathe in and say it. Try to breathe in and say God. Go ahead. Try it again. You'll be trying forever because you can't breathe in and say God. Try to breathe in and say, Jehovah. Say Jehovah breathing in. You can't do it. Try to say Om breathing in. They tell you to breathe Om out. Try to say Om breathing in. Try Buddha. Try Zoroastrian. Try Fard Muhammad. Now watch this one. Hu Allah Elevi La Ilaha Illa Huwa. He is Allah, and besides him, there is none except he. Hu Allah Elevi La Ilaha Illa Huwa. He is Allah, who is the creator. Nothing would exist if he did not create it. And he says in the Bible that he put his soul into man, be he, and man became a living spirit. I'm doing that purposely. Now I want you, we tried God and Jehovah and all the different names that they use, Yahweh and Yahweh. Now I want you to say Allah. Say it again. Now try to breathe that out and say it. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah is the stain of all the boundless universes. You can't blaspheme his name. Even if you want to, you can. Because he gave you the code of the scriptures. And in that scripture, he said he blew his spirit into you and you became a living soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you breathe in, say, Allah, try it. All the Sufis do it. Allah, Allah. You, now try to breathe out and do it. Ya Rabbi, you can't. Not God, not Jehovah, not Yahweh, or his way. The baby says, ah, the first sound that comes out of everybody's mouth, regardless of where they are, and regardless of what languages is ah. You know why? Because if you were standing at the edge of a cliff and I pushed you, isn't that something for me to say? And I pushed you on your way down or on your way back to Allah. You know what you would say? Who knows? That's right. Let me hear you say it. When people fall off cliffs, they don't go, God. They don't go, Jehovah. They go, ah! If a person walked up behind you and frightened you, you don't turn around and say, God. You go, ah. You people, regardless of what language, ohala, you speak, be it Spanish, Arabic, French, the baby will still cry the name of the Creator, Allah. La ilaha illallah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raja'un. From Allah you all have come, and to Allah you shall raja'a, return. Why am I saying this? Because I'm trying to establish, A, that when you say any other name other than Allah, you are blaspheming. And you better believe that Jesus, the Messiah, used the name Allah. You believe that he was on the cross dying. Correct? Or at least some people do. Now, why is it I ask people, when he was supposedly on the cross, dying, why didn't he say, Jehovah, Jehovah, why have thou forsaken me? Why Eli, Eli? Why did he use the word Allah if that was him? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Eli, Eli, from Elohim in the single, my creator, or as we say, la ilaha illallah. Yeah, Muslims say, la ilaha illallah. Nothing would exist if creator didn't bring it in. Jesus said, as you say while he's on the cross, ilah, ilah, lama sabachthani. My creator, why have thou forsaken me? We all know that's a myth, but this is what you claim. Then you ask me, like I said, about the white man and his soul. And I want you to turn your Bible to Joshua. The book of Joshua. And I want you to look at the fifth chapter and the first verse. And we're going to read a very strange incident. The book of Joshua, the fifth chapter
the first verse. Does anybody want to read it? Joshua, the fifth chapter, the first verse. It's going to astound some of you at this point, because you for years called me crazy because I said the Amorite had no soul. Not to mention he just cannot dance. That he has no sense of rhythm, which they call soul, or identify us, we call me and you soul people, or soulful people, or colorful people. They say, wow, look at them niggas dance. Look at them Puerto Ricans dance. Look at the rhythm they got. They can play four cungada at one time and be bata and chinto. Look at this. And white people come to your party, and you, black people, would stop and look at them and say, wow. They have no, you turn an American bandstand and have a big laugh. Watching them move the opposite of the beat. Music's going, thump, 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 and white people going, ba-dip, ba-dip, ba-dip. White people have no soul. They know they have no soul. And if the soul came from the almighty creator of the heavens and the earth, then where did they come from? And I'm going to show you here that they lost that soul, because they did come out of our seed. The Bible is going to show you. Joshua 5:1. Somebody read.
And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel.
Now, we got two tribes mentioned here and a place. Two tribes mentioned here. The Amorites and the Canaanites, who I explained a million times to y'all, are the white race. Through the scriptures, not through me. You don't believe the Canaanites are white? Read Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, and they'll describe them, the color of their hair, their skin, and their sicknesses and disease, and the liver spots, why 90% of them die of cancer, and why they go around spreading all kinds of diseases like syphilis and gonorrhea, and spread them amongst our people integrating. You people better stop mixing your seed with the devil. Abraham was told you can live with the Canaanites, don't marry them, and don't mix with them. The Holy Quran separates us into tribes and families that we may know about each other. If we integrate, how are we going to know about each other? They got to listen. Did you realize that at a certain point it said, now we was at a place called El Urdun, Jordan. You know, Jordan is the same place where the Messiah, Jesus, got his baptism. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. And when the Amorites and the Canaanites saw the Almighty perform the same miracle that he performed for Moses and the children of Israel before, he dried up the Jordan. A lot of people think he only did it once with the Red Sea. He did it again right in the Bible. When he dried up the Jordan for the children of Israel, what happened to the Amorite soul? What did the Bible say happened to it? The word they use there is Zabet. It melted kulubihim, their heart. Why? And lem. There is not tevka remaining fihim in them a ruh, a soul, bad min jawah, after that, because of Bena Israel. That's the Canaanite and the Amorite soul. You have spirit written in English. In the language Arabic, they have ruh. Why do I point out ruh? Because in the scriptures of the Holy Quran, when Allah Ta'ala speaks of breathing into man, he says he breathed him in. This is Holy Quran chapter 15, verse 29, right in the Arabic. He said he breathed into him of his ruhi. And then told the devil to fall down and prostrate to Adam. And he refused because he was min al-kafirin. What is a kafirin? And where do we get the understanding of the kafirin? Well, before we can understand the kafirin, we have to understand what renders one a kafir, a concealer of the truth. The truth of Allah Ta'ala has come down to human beings, and so did 200 fallen angels called Karabim, called cherubim, cast out from heaven also into the earth. If you don't believe me, read Revelation chapter 12. And it'll tell you about Michael fighting against the devil and the devil's angels, and they have found no place for them at all in heaven anymore. Right in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. For the angels that were cast out of heaven, which I explained in last week's class, has come from the seed of the devil, as found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The seed of the devil, his family, and I will show you in the Quran somewhere during the day where the jinn is a man. I'm going to tell you, a man. I'm going to use the Arabic word, rajalin, a man. But first we got to establish something, and that is the jinn, who has come down out of heaven and is on earth tormenting man in the form of a man many times. The Quran reads in the 114th chapter, the message to human beings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has six verses because this devil was destined to reside on earth for 6,000 years, one of his numbers. And his time is almost up, and he knows it. And he is panicking. He's running wild. He sees UFOs, as he calls them. We call them spoofer. He sees UFOs every day, and he don't know what to do. There's wars and rumors of wars and nations against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there's famines and there's earthquakes and there's pestilence, and the man is confused. He's looking for you to help him, and you're confused. But because Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the light of Allah is here. And we'll know the truth, and it'll make us free. Listen what it tells us. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Begin all things with the illustrious name of Allah, the Yielder, the Most Merciful, which I explained earlier. Kul, tell him this, Muhammad. This is the angelic being, extraterrestrials as you'd have them, speaking to the Prophet Muhammad, who was the comforter who came after Jesus, the Holy Spirit with him. And the Holy Spirit is the angel Gabriel, salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. He spoke to Muhammad and said in an order tense, tell them this, Muhammad, kul. This is what man better do. Kul. A'udhu bi rabbin nas. Kul. A'udhu bi rabbin nas. Tell them this, Muhammad. A'udhu. That they better seek. A'udhu protection. Bi rabbin nas. By way of the sustainer of all human people. Because he created you. You better stop seeking refuge in the devil and his ways, in his computers and his economic strategy and his manipulation. You better stop worshiping a beast who the book of Revelation chapter 13, when Jesus' disciples were telling us that we better be careful of this Satan who's going to be a man, and he has a number, and the number of the beast. Jesus tried to warn people, and that's why they wanted to kill him. Because he was warning people of the devil on earth, not the devil floating around the sky. He told them that Caesar was the devil. How did he tell them that Caesar was the devil? Because what is opposite the Almighty but the devil? And when he told them, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto the Lord what is the Lord, what was he telling them Caesar was then? The devil. But you today are living in a Roman Empire, under Roman rule, under Roman laws, under Roman custom. You even call yourself Roman Catholic at times. You have roamed, all right.